Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Extended Hands of God Highway Ministry. It's Thursday night. We have Pastor John English from Galloway Full Gospel in Springfield, Missouri. But before we turn it over to Pastor John, we're going to play a song called "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?" by Johnny Cash. And as soon as that song's over with, Pastor, it's all yours. Here we go.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? From the cross, were you there when they took him from the cross?
Man, what a song. I'm not sure if Shelley knew it or not, but that's one of my favorite songs. I love that song, and I love the version that we just heard tonight. What a thought that would be to even ask the question, were you there? Can you imagine tonight what it must have been like to have been there, to experience the monumental event that would change the course of humanity for all of eternity. Up until that time, we were hopeless. The law was impossible to keep. Death reigned over humanity. There was no freedom from sin. But in that moment, as those that were there, maybe they didn't even realize what they were witnessing. But the most monumental event that would change the course of humanity, when Christ would give his life at the cross, when he would shed his innocent, sinless, spotless blood, when he would offer himself as a sacrifice in our place. The Bible says that Jesus would give his life for what many would consider to be the enemy of God. We were considered the enemy of God in our sin, and yet Jesus came and gave his life. The monumental event of the cross. Can you imagine what it must have been like to have been there? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? With so many probably feeling so let down and so discouraged and so disappointed, they took that body of our Lord off that cross, that old rugged cross, the blood-stained cross, and they laid it in the borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Imagine the disappointment for so many to have thought that it's over, that it was a good ride while it lasted, but even this Jesus couldn't stand up to the power of the Roman crucifixion. How many must have hung their head in shame and in defeat, thinking that it was over, that it was lost. Imagine as they watched them take his body down, the body that Jesus allowed them to bruise and break and torture, lay stripes upon his back and place a crown of thorns on his head. Then he asked the question in the song, were you there when they rolled the stone away? Woo! Can you imagine what that must have been like to experience, to understand in that moment that, in fact, he did raise up from the dead? To realize that it wasn't all lost? To realize that it was not just over, but it had just begun. What a story that takes us from tragedy to triumph. No greater tragedy than for Jesus to suffer and bleed and die on a cross for sin that he never did commit. But what triumph to realize that in his death he paid the price for our sin debt. And in his resurrection, he overcame death, hell, and the grave. You know, I look at that song, and I look at the reality of that story, and I realize that without a tragedy, there is no triumph. And Christ and the suffering of Christ opens the door and makes the way for the greatest triumph. Do you realize tonight that often the same is true for us? I've heard it said, it's kind of a catchphrase. Many of you heard it before, sitting in church buildings. Without a test, there is no testimony. Without a valley, there is no mountaintop. Without a tragedy, there is no triumph. Now, I didn't realize they were playing that song. I've had family over all night long, didn't know for sure if I'd even make it on the line. had about 5 minutes to myself to try and decide what I should speak on tonight. And if anybody knows me, I'm a voracious preparer. I love to be prepared if the Lord will allow me. If he'll give me something, I want to have something. But just a few minutes before the service, I had nothing. I'm sitting there in my chair. Everybody's around me talking. I'm trying to come up with what I would share tonight. And the Lord prompted me to go back to something that I had read just yesterday. Now, I don't often, I'm not an expository preacher. An expository preacher goes verse by verse, word by word, goes down through the chapter, will read a little bit, then talk, then speak or preach or teach a little bit, then read a little bit more. I don't usually, that's not my style. I can do it sometimes, but that's not usually the way the Lord moves on me. But tonight when the Lord took me to what I read the other day, I began to read through it again. And I could feel the witness of the Holy Spirit. See, this is what I want you to share. I want you to remind them. I want you to take them to these scriptures, and I want you to explain them and bring out these points. Little did I realize that we would open up with the song about the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord. Little did I realize that we would talk about the tragedy and the triumph. Ooh, Rabasi. Now, most of us, we would like to avoid tragedy. I've said this before on the line. We see tragedy and we want to run the other direction. We see struggles, trials, temptations, problems, circumstances. And really in our flesh, we would love if we had the choice to avoid those things like the plague. Nobody wants to walk down into a deep, dark valley. Nobody wants to go through a test. Nobody wants to go through a fiery furnace. Nobody wants to be locked away in a lion's den. But we got to realize tonight that it's the tragedy that brings us to the place of triumph. We must understand that while our flesh may want to run the other direction, and I've been there myself many more times than you could even imagine. I've wanted to run away. Like David said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away. I would escape into the wilderness. I would get away from these problems. But oh, in our flesh, it's hard to see beyond the pain. It's hard to see beyond the suffering. It's hard to see beyond the need and the circumstances and the impossibilities. It's hard to see beyond the mountain that stands in our way. But in the spirit, we got to know that if we can make it through the tragedy, if we can make it through the valley, if we can make it through the test, if we can make it through the fiery furnace, that on the other side of tragedy, there's always a triumph. Some of you tonight, you're facing some tragedies. You're walking downhill into a dark valley. You're facing some obstacles in your life that you just don't see a way around. But my Bible tells me there is triumph on the other side. Some scripture I want to read. I was reading in the book of 2 Corinthians. I mean, that's a beautiful book. Yesterday as I was reading, I was prompted to go there specifically to read. And when I began to read, God began to speak to me just yesterday. And little did I know that I would be dealing with it again tonight. But I'm going to go down through chapter number 1 and read some verses, and then I'm going to skip over and read a few more out of another chapter. We have this idea sometimes. This is something that dawned on me yesterday. I mean, I know the Bible, and I know what the apostles went through, and I know what Paul faced. But we have this idea in our mind. We tend to somehow believe that they were super Christians, that we don't measure up to them, that they were so much greater than us, that it must have been relatively easy for Paul to be shipwrecked, to be bitten by a viper. It must have been pretty easy for him because, after all, he's Paul the Apostle. Must have been easy for him to be thrown into prison, to have stripes laid on his back. We have this idea sometimes, maybe it's an unspoken thought, that they went through it well because God was with them in a special way. But I'm not Paul the Apostle, and I'll testify to that tonight. I'm not Paul the Apostle. I'm not Daniel. I'm not Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego. I'm not David. I'm not Moses. I'm John English. But we got to realize sometimes that while they may have been special, and they were, and while God may have used them in a great and mighty way, and he did, that the same Spirit that dwelled in them dwells in us. The same Spirit that rose Christ up from the dead. That God's made the same promise to us as he did to them. We've got to realize sometimes that God was faithful to them, and God will be faithful to us. And God will bring us out just like God brought them out. And we've got to get the understanding that while Paul may have been the greatest apostle that ever lived, we serve the same God that Paul served. While Moses may have known God face to face, we serve the same God that Moses did. While God may have delivered Daniel out of a lion's den, we serve the same God that Daniel served. And so I'm reading this chapter. Bear in mind, I'm thinking of the tragedies and the struggles that I myself face, that we all face. And I'm trying to follow the leading of the Lord. Let me say this. We all face tragedies and struggles, trials and tribulations, temptations and attacks. We face the trial and the temptation that wars against us from our flesh. We face the attack of Satan that's all around us. We constantly are bombarded by the circumstances of a life lived in an imperfect fallen world. We all face something, some kind of tragedy, some kind of suffering. And I'm reading in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 3. These are the words of Paul, that great apostle. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the Lord. Of all that Paul faced and of all that we will read, his words were, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father of mercies, and listen to this, and the God of all comfort. And that struck me. He's the God of all comfort. Now, I've got to say to you tonight that there is no need for comfort lest there be tragedy, lest there be trials and tribulations, lest there be suffering in the life of the believer. There's no need for God to be the God of all comfort if there's nothing touching our lives. Now, we live in a time when much of the church believes that we should never suffer, that we should never encounter problems or trials or tribulations. But I've got to go back to the Word, and I've got to tell you, the Bible says, that many are the afflictions of the righteous. It rains on the just and the unjust. We will struggle in this life. We will suffer in this life. We will experience challenges and circumstances, trials and tribulations. We will find ourselves staring tragedy right in the face. But in this verse of Scripture, we find that our God, Kadabasi, our God, our Heavenly Father, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the God of all comfort. Verse number 4, who comforteth us. He's the God of all comfort, but He comforts us. He's made His comfort available to us. He ministers to us in our time of need. He eases the pain of our suffering. I remember as a boy, like many of you will do as well, many times I would fall down and skin my knee. And I remember as a child, I would jump up with blood gushing out of my knee, and I would run into the house where I would find my mother. She was my comforter. She would be the one that would hold me in her arms. She would be the one that would clean my wound up. She would be the one that would doctor it and bandage it up and hold me and wipe the tears that were streaming down my face. Why? Because my mother was a comforter. Do you realize that God is a God of all comfort, and He comforts us in our time of need, during the time of our suffering, during the tragedies that we face, when we go through those terrible moments and we find ourselves walking through that fiery furnace? It is the God of heaven that comforts us. He holds us in His arms. He binds up our wounds. He applies the balm of Gilead to our broken hearts. He is the God that will comfort us in our time of need. Thank God for the comfort of His Holy Spirit. Thank God in those moments when we don't know what else to do, we can run to Abba, Father. Thank God there's not a need that He cannot meet. There's not a wound that He cannot bind up. There's not a sickness that He cannot heal. There's not a mountain that He cannot move. Thank God that He holds us in His arms. He dries the tears that are streaming down our face. He mends the brokenness of our hearts. Thank God He's a God of comfort. And the Bible says He comforts us in all of our tribulation. In all our tribulation. I want you to notice the plurality of that phrase. It doesn't just say He comforts us in tribulation, but in all of our tribulation. That's a plural statement. Meaning that tribulation will come and go, but then it will come and go again. But in all of those moments, in all of our tribulation, He will bring comfort to us. He will bind up our wounds. He will wipe our tears. He'll mend our broken heart. He'll pick us. You know, my mother, she would say, "Now, John, get up and get back out there and play. If you fell off your bike, then get back on your bike and begin to ride it again." And God will say, "I know this hurt you. I know that you've been struggling. I know you fell down and you skinned your knee, but let me bind it up. Let me doctor it. Let me apply the balm of Gilead. Let me fill you with my spirit. Let me wrap my arms of love around you. And in the name of Jesus, get back up. Rejoin the race. Begin to run again." says in the Word, He comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Tragedy and then triumph. No greater triumph than for God to comfort you and then raise you up to be a comfort to someone else. You know, I've been in the ministry for many years, and often for a pastor or for someone in the ministry, it's hard to find somebody to talk to. There's nobody better than to talk to somebody that's already been through what you're going through now. Come on, somebody. I wish I could get a witness. Nobody better than for somebody that's already been down the road you've been down, that's already suffered the things that you're suffering, that's already dealt with the fear that's gripping your heart, that's already overcome the trials and temptations that you're facing. Nobody better than for somebody to stand up and say, I've been there before. I didn't know what I was going to do. My life seemed to be spinning out of control, but God comforted me, but God brought me through. The Bible says God comforts us so that we can then turn and comfort someone else by the same Spirit of the living God that dwells in our hearts. Verse number 5. Listen to this. We just heard that song about the crucifixion, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord. We imagine in our mind what the suffering must have been like for the Son of God to bleed, to be wounded for our transgressions, to hang suspended between heaven and earth on a wooden cross with blood dripping off the end of his toes into the dusty ground beneath the cross. We imagine the suffering, don't we? The Bible says in verse number 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us. There it is again, that word suffering, that implication that as believers, that the suffering of Christ is going to abound in us. Christ suffered at the cross, but you and I also will suffer in this life. Paul the Apostle made this statement, I believe it was in the book of Philippians, he said, that I may know him in the fellowship of his sufferings, that I might be acquainted with Christ through the suffering in this life. Jesus endured the suffering of the cross for you and for me, but the child of God will suffer in this life. We will suffer the attacks of Satan. We will suffer the war of our own flesh. We will suffer the tormenting thoughts. We will suffer trials and tribulations. The Bible says there in verse number 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us. Listen, that word abound means a plentiful supply. They abound in us. We all suffer. We all endure. But the Bible says, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. The suffering is real, but so is the consolation. So is the comfort. As the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so does the consolation also abound by Christ, which implies that it's Jesus in us that brings a consolation. Anybody ever heard of the consolation prize? It's a prize to ease the pain of loss. Understand, the scripture says here, you're going to go through some suffering. You're going to go through a time of loss. You're going to experience tragedy in this life, but there is a consolation prize that will ease the pain of your suffering, and it appears in the image of the Son, Jesus Christ, in our hearts. ikatarabasi. Verse number 6. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is the effectual and the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Paul making the statement, we suffer. You're going to suffer. The Bible says, whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Verse number 7, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye also be of the consolation. The Bible, he's simply saying, you're going to suffer, but you're also going to be consoled. Think about this. Listen to verse number 8 again. We sometimes think that they were super saints. But listen to verse number 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. You know, Paul reached that region, and obviously trouble met him there. Anybody ever came to a place and trouble met you there? Woke up in the morning and trouble met you there? Got to work one night and trouble met you there? Trouble met you in your marriage? Trouble met you at the doctor's office? Trouble met you maybe even at your church? Paul said, we went to Asia to do the will and the work of God, but trouble met us there. He said, we would not have you ignorant of the trouble that came to us in Asia. Now listen to these phrases. You ready? That we were pressed out of measure. In other words, we were pressed beyond our ability to sustain. The trouble was pressing us beyond measure. Anybody ever felt that way? Some of you feel that way tonight. The trouble around me, the struggles that I endure. Maybe it's the crisis that's surrounding all of us. Maybe it's a situation in your family. You say, Brother English, it's pressing me beyond measure. It's pressing me beyond my ability to endure. Well, Paul said we were pressed beyond measure, above strength. Going on reading, he said we were pressed out of measure and above strength, which it means it's beyond our ability to maintain. We had no strength left in us. We did all we could do to fight against it, but our strength was gone. Now, I can look back over the last 2 or 3, 4 years of my life, I've been where Paul was talking about. Many of you have been there before. Some of you may be there now. This is pressing me out of measure, beyond or above my strength. Paul the Apostle writes, this is the trouble that we endured. Pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much, listen to this, that we despaired even of life. We were so troubled, we were so pressed, we had no strength left within us, and it was so bad that we began to despair of life itself. We were in despair as to whether or not we would make it through this trouble. I've been there before. Some of you have been there. You're there right now. This trouble, this problem, this tragedy has pressed you beyond measure. It's taken your strength, and now you're even beginning to despair even of your own life. The Bible says in verse number 9, a key This is a key to overcoming the trouble and not giving in to the despair of your life. He said in verse number 9 that this is a key. Tragedy is going to come. Tragedy leads us to triumph. Trouble will meet us, and trouble will press us. But he said in verse number 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. Now, you got to understand, he said, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, and then he refers to not being able to trust in self. In other words, what Paul is writing here, he's saying, but we were dead already. We were dead in our flesh already. He makes the statement, and he says in another portion of Scripture, he said, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by my faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. Paul is making the statement, I am a dead man. I've reckoned myself as dead already. And if I realize that I'm dead already, listen, a dead person doesn't have anything to be afraid of. And I've said in the past that the Scripture makes reference to the saints of God loving their own lives not unto death. In other words, they did not love their lives even to death. They were willing to sacrifice. They were willing to become martyrs. They were willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. They were willing to be burnt at a stake. They were willing to be stoned or to be banished to a deserted island. They were willing. Why? Because they were already dead. They were crucified with Christ. Therefore, trouble can do nothing to you. Circumstances have no power over you because you already know that you're dead already. You're crucified with Christ. Now the problem is that too often we love our lives. We love our lives and we trust ourselves. Therefore, when trouble comes, trouble's got something to steal from us. But you can't steal anything from a dead man. Come on, somebody. I said you can't steal anything from a dead man because he's already dead. And a dead man doesn't trust in himself. No, that's why Paul says we had a sentence of death in ourselves so that we did not trust in ourselves, but in the God that raiseth up the dead. Paul was making the statement, trouble came, but we were dead already. We knew not to trust in ourselves, but we were trusting in the God that's able to raise up the dead. Can I say to you tonight that in your trouble, in your circumstance, in your suffering, in the midst of your tragedy, stop looking to your dead self for an answer and begin to look to the God that is able to raise Jesus Christ up from the dead, because the Bible says the same spirit that dwelled in him dwells in you. Ooh, I got it. Verse number 10. He said, we already realized we were dead. We didn't put our trust in our dead selves. We trusted God. Verse number 10, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. And that's powerful. Hallelujah. Now, I wrote in my Bible in the margin yesterday when I read it, I wrote, he did deliver, he does deliver, and he will deliver. Past, present, and future. He is the God, the great deliverer, and he will deliver his people. He did deliver them. He does deliver them, and he will deliver them. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Paul said, we put our trust in the God that delivered us from so great a death. What death was that? The death to sin. He delivered us from that death when Christ went to the cross, and we put our faith in Jesus, and he doth deliver us. He still delivers us. He is delivering you currently, but you've got to be in a tragedy. You've got to be suffering. You got to go through something for God to deliver you currently. And the promise that not only did he, and not only does he, but he will deliver us in the future. What a promise. Do you realize he's already delivered you from a terrible death to sin and eternity separated from God in hell? But he does deliver right now. He is delivering you currently. He's delivering you through the darkness. He's bringing you up out of that valley. He's going to bring you out of that test. He is going to bring you and be faithful. The Bible said, he that began a good work in you will be faithful to perform it until that day. God is currently delivering you, and the promise is that he will in the future deliver you again. I'm going to skip over. I'm going to try to calm down, and I'm going to try to wrap this up. You know, I thought when I was in my chair, I thought, well, I'll just read through those verses and make some comments. But man, when the Holy Ghost gets on it, let me skip over, and I'm going to bring it to a close. I go over to that same book, 2 Corinthians. And then I find in chapter number 4, I find one of the greatest testimonies ever recorded, in my opinion. A testimony of God's faithfulness in the midst of tragedy and the promise of triumph. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, we are troubled on every side. We're troubled on every side. Everywhere we look, there's trouble. Yet not distressed. Tragedy, but then triumph. He says we are perplexed, but not in despair. Tragedy, but triumph. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. In each case, we find tragedy, but then triumph. It's a tragedy to be persecuted, but it's a triumph to not be forsaken. A tragedy to be cast down, but a triumph to not be destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made manifested in our mortal flesh. We're always delivered unto death. This old flesh, it's got to be crucified daily. We must reckon ourselves to be dead, but alive in Christ. Tragedy leads to triumph. Tonight I will say to you that on that cross, Jesus paid the ultimate price, and on that cross, he delivered us from a terrible death to sin. And as we place our faith in him as believers, we understand that he will not only save us, but he will keep us. go back through these scriptures and we realize that even in the life of Paul, great persecution, great pressure, trouble, tribulation, suffering was very real in his life, and it will be very real in ours. But it's the tragedy that leads to triumph. I look back over the last 3, 4, 5 years of my life, and many of you are familiar with some of what I went through. Man, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But I will tell you that when God brings you out, the triumph is greater than the tragedy could ever be. Tonight, just, you know, prior to the service, we heard our brother Logan, and he testified that his wife Taylor had just given birth to their son Daniel. You know, I've heard it often said that a woman, that when she goes into labor, that the pain is excruciating, whether it's a long labor or a short labor. The pain, the physical pain of giving birth, is excruciating. But I've always heard, and I've heard women testify, that the minute that child is delivered and the moment that the doctor lays the child in on their chest, the pain of that delivery is vanished. It's wiped away. The pain of the suffering is gone because of the glory of the child that they hold in their arms. Can I say to you tonight that the tragedy may be harder than you could even imagine? It may be terrible to endure. But the moment that God brings you out and triumph comes to your life, you'll begin to forget about the pain of the tragedy and you'll rejoice in the glory of the triumph. God will be faithful to you. I'm going to say a prayer tonight and just ask the Lord's blessings upon your life. And then I'm going to close with the sinner's prayer. Father, I pray that you would bless your people tonight. I thank you for your word, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. God, I thank you that you have ministered to your people tonight. Lord, I pray that your blessing would rest upon them, that God, whatever it is that they may face, whatever type of suffering they may endure, whatever tragedy they may be faced with, that God, you would remind them in the midst of their struggle that triumph is on the other side. God, I pray that you would remain faithful to them. Let them feel your love and mercy and your grace. Wrap your arms of love around them. Comfort them in their time of affliction. God, bring them through and bring them out. God, bring triumph to their life and to their situation. Let them rejoice in the promise of your word that you will never leave nor forsake us. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Tonight, if you're listening on the line and if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or maybe if you did before, but you've turned away from him, tonight the Bible says that if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, that you will be saved. Confess the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight I'm going to lead you through a sinner's prayer. And if you will say this simple prayer, and if you will say it in faith, then I believe you'll be just as saved as anybody else. Say it with me now. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess to you that I am a sinner and I need a Savior. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on a cross. He paid the price for my sin and he rose from the grave. I ask you now to forgive me. Wash me white as snow. Cover me with your precious blood. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart, and I will live my life for you. I accept the gift of salvation by faith alone. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now tonight, if you said that prayer, they're going to have some information for you. But I want to be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. God bless you.
Amen, brother. Wonderful message tonight. If you just prayed that prayer with Pastor John, you just made the best decision of your life. If you didn't and wanted to, maybe you still have some questions, or you just need someone to pray with you, you can call Pastor Skip at 816-729-6649. We'd love to hear from you, send some literature and a Bible for free, help you out with your new walk with the Lord. We also suggest that you get into a Bible-based church, and we can help you with that as well. And we can start sending pre-recorded messages on CDs. All we need is your address, and we'd love to send them to you. And you can go to extendedhandsofgod.org and find all our contact information on there. We also have a free app you can download to your iPhone or Android by searching Extended Hands of God at your app store. On both the app and website, you can listen to all the messages, see who the other speakers are, and a whole lot more. And you can find Pastor John English, Galloway Full Gospel, on our website and on our link page and on Facebook. And you can share this with your friends and family. And thank you again for joining us at Extended Hands of God Highway Ministries. And God bless.